The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Before we start the show, here at The Thing Is, we want you and all of our listeners to have amazing sex, which is why I want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray. It's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. It takes the edge off and sensitivity levels down so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. There's no prescriptions, no mess, no pesky subscriptions required, just better sex guaranteed with a 60-day money-back policy. I mean, that's freaking awesome. As you listen to the show, you all know, Maddie doesn't have a whole lot of sex. I don't have a whole lot of sex, both for very different reasons. But it's important to both of us that our guests and our listeners live a very different life than we live. See what the buzz is about for yourself and grab a bottle along with all your sexual wellness products, from specially formulated arousal gels to supplements and so much more, in one trusted spot that ships fast and discreet. So go to promescent.com. There's no promo code needed, and they offer free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So you're not losing out on anything. You can only gain by trying Promescent products, especially Promescent Delay Spray. Once more, go to promescent.com. That's P-R-O-M-E-S-C-E-N-T.com. And they've got an assortment of products to enhance your sex life. So give it a try and let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
This is Shannon. You're listening to The Thing Is. I'm here as always with my lovely co-host, Maddie.
Hello, Shannon. You're looking marvelous this evening. Did I do that one yet?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a repeat from last week.
Listen, this is I'm telling you, it's a shock to me as much as everyone else how I've managed to keep a relationship going for 17 years. This is why I don't do compliments.
Can we do it one more time?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. With my lovely co-host, Maddie.
Hello, Shannon. You're looking marvelous this evening.
No, you just use a different word.
You said you wanted to try it. Oh, I didn't understand the game.
I'm not doing it a third time.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, we have joining us today, very funny, hilarious comedian, Paul Hooper. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. You look wonderful today.
Thank you. See?
Another word.
That was a much better one. Paul, you did a much better job.
Thank you.
My word was longer.
I have a request. I'm sorry. I should have done this before I hit record. Paul, is it possible for you to turn your phone landscape like on its side, or does that ruin your life?
I think it's in this thing. It's like ring light holder. So I don't think it'll go.
Okay. Don't even worry about it. It's totally fine. All right. Well, here we are. I put glasses on because I, last night on the SDR show, we played a drinking game. We did a Never Have I Ever. And Why is Kevin asking if anyone else is having audio issues? Is it what you're hearing us say? This is a great beginning of a show. I'm sorry. We'll get into a groove. Don't worry.
No worries.
So we played Never Have I Ever on the show because guests canceled last minute and we had to just throw something together. So we had Curvy Mary come on, who has been on this show before. And everybody was drinking, and I'm not that much of a drinker anymore. So I feel that a little bit the next day. So I have bags under my eyes. Also, what ended up happening at the end of the episode, which you guys should all go and watch it, the SDR show on gasdigitalnetwork.com, is she ended up, and this wasn't planned, she ended up shooting ping pong balls out of her vagina on the table. I guess, did you know?
An oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Great.
I've never actually seen it happen in real life. So that was something.
How far did they either. Go?
Not far, but it was like ploop, you know?
It had some fucking hang time?
Yeah, a little bit. Arc. It was really? What?
There was an arc to it? It sort of, it lifted off? All right.
Yeah, it was like ploop.
That's pretty good.
And then she did two at one time. She put in two and then did ploop ploop.
I feel like that'd be easier, you know what I mean, because you can build kinetic energy between the two balls by themselves.
That's key. That's right. Key to kinetic energy, building it.
Pretty sure I used the right word too.
Yeah, it's right. It's so smart for shooting balls out of your vagina across the room. It's impressive.
I should have prepared a clip to show you guys, but yeah, everybody go and watch that one. So anyway, so I'm a little blah and tired today. That's what the glasses are for. But as I was getting ready for this show, I was trying to catch up on Married at First Sight. Do you watch it, Paul?
Never seen it.
Okay. So I love it. Maddie, this is one of the few reality shows that Maddie also watches. Yeah. And so obviously the premise is, you know, a bunch of singles join this thing, matchmakers put them together and they meet each other at the altar and they get married at first sight. And so there's one couple, I'm not through the most recent episode completely yet, but there was something that caught me that I didn't like. So it's one couple. It's, I don't know their names, the couple, the girl with the red hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
their names too.
Yeah, I have no idea. So they are, they're sitting with one of the therapists who's like the sex therapist, and they are discussing their relationship. And he's like, you know, the only problem is because they're like, they think each other are great. They think each other are like good looking. They like each other's personalities. And he's like, the only issues. And so the therapist asked if they'd had sex yet. And he's like, no. And so she asks why. And he's like, because there's just like not that thing yet. Like, you know, he doesn't feel that like complete attraction to her. So then she separates the two of them so that he can speak more openly. And when she's talking to him directly, he's like, what I'm looking for is like, when I get excited to come home from work and like, I want to be like, throw her up against the wall and just like make out with her like passion. Yeah. And what the therapist says is that's the thing of Hollywood movies.
Yeah. Yeah. After he said that, Aaron and I both looked at each other with absolute disgust.
Well, you guys are together for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
These people just met each other.
That's true. Yeah. And she's got big old fucking titties. So you'd think it'd be all there for them.
Regardless, this is not the stuff of Hollywood movies. This does exist in life.
Now, this is the thing of like Hollywood psychopathy. You know, this whole fucking show is nuts.
Paul, what are your thoughts on this?
That doesn't seem too far-fetched, right? To expect that, you know, that's not crazy.
It's like
maybe for 40 years that won't last for sure. But, you know, for a few years, that's not crazy, I would think. But I'm like never been married. I've had relationships, but single a lot. So I don't know if I'm the one, but that doesn't seem too much to ask for, right?
But I feel like they're making them have their expectations be as low as possible. It's like, just get along and do that forever. And that's how you make a marriage last.
I mean, yeah, you just limp through it until your heart explodes. But
yes, exactly.
That sucks. But
yeah, it really made me upset. I didn't like that. But then again, I am also somebody who is mostly single, who doesn't have sex ever. Mm-hmm. So, but that, it just kind of bummed me out to hear that, because it does exist.
They're several weeks in at this point now, right?
Several weeks in. Oh, of the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they're like midway through right now.
Yeah. And they're still like, the one guy hasn't gotten a kiss yet from that one pain in the ass.
Right.
This guy's not getting laid because he doesn't have butterflies like a lady.
No, but that's it. That's chemistry is what that is, though.
Fucking, you know, chromosomal. She's a big word now.
I don't know what you're talking about today.
Kinetic was good, but now chromosomal.
See, this is because you complimented him before, so now he's going to keep doing it, and it's going to get worse every time.
Yeah, fancy
words. Good. That's not like me.
In my catching you guys up on stuff. Before you ask me, yes, I do still smell cigarette smoke. That's still happening. Paul, I had COVID. I lost my smell, lost my taste. And then when I got them kind of back, I got this phantom smell of cigarettes constantly. And it's just here now.
I heard that you had this, or I saw it somewhere. And so my sister had COVID like months ago, and she has like a phantom smell, but it's not cigarettes. It's like dog food or something.
Really?
Like her dog's, I would take that food. One.
And it was like real gross, but it's not near the dog's food. It's just fucking, and I think it started to like dissipate now, but it was strange. It's going on for months. Ugh. Just different places, not in the same place, not the dog food, just it was there.
So, but was it certain things that triggered it for her, or was it constant?
It was constant, different places. I don't even think it had to be at home, near the dog, anything. It was just sort of throughout the day, randomly. It was really getting to her because it was like this strong, pungent smell of like fucking just rank dog food, and just over and over again.
Yeah, it's really annoying. I have heard Carla Ogerson, who has been on the show before, she's having a similar thing. I'm trying to think. I think it was also cigarette smoke that she smells, but for her, it was certain things triggered it to start. Whereas at least that's a little easier because then you can just avoid those things. But for me, it's like after I don't have it the first hour in the morning and then it starts and it just goes and gets like worse throughout the day. And people have sent me, and I haven't watched them. Don't ask me why. I have no answer for this. But people have sent me videos about how you can supposedly reset your smell and your taste after losing them. And I haven't watched them. I don't know why. Maybe the answer is out there and I'm doing nothing to fix it.
Yeah, one of these
simple.
Some neighbor, I mean, this is like early in the pandemic, like mid-2020 last year, some guy that owned the laundromat by my house, he had COVID and he was a loud talker. And he was saying the doctor told him to practice smelling, to grab things or envision them and sit and like think about it. But this guy was half out of his mind. So I don't know. was supposed to envision it and practice smelling it all over again. I don't know what the fuck.
But is that to like when you don't have your smell at all and you're trying to get it back?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, because I have it kind of back. It's like 60% and it's staying there though. It's not getting any better, which is why I just think this is my life now. I just smell cigarette smoke forever. But I spent $1 million on candles from Bath and Body Works, like my fall candle selection. And I just run them all the time because it distracts my nose.
You can't smell the candles though?
I smell the candle. Yeah, I smell it right now. It's just that it has to be like very strong near me. Otherwise the cigarette smoke overtakes it.
Pretty wild. That's pretty wild. That cigarette smoke.
It's the worst. It's like, what's a worse smell? I guess like some sort of bad body odor smell would be worse.
Yeah. You ever get like close to a bum?
Yeah.
And you're like, that's a funk.
Is it the like cigarette smoke of someone smoking next to you? I think the worst smell is the stagnant cigarette smoke on clothes or in a room is worse than fresh cigarette smoke. But
that's true.
Yeah. 100%.
But it's like, you know, the like feeling in your nose, like when someone's smoking a cigarette near you, it's just like a feeling in your nose along with the smell. And I have that along with it, because like I said this last week, but like the first time I smelled it, I was at work in the studio and all of a sudden it got me and I stood up and I looked in the studio. I walked out into the lobby. I'm like, who's freaking smoking a cigarette indoors? Like I was so angry and it just didn't, there was nobody. But yeah, it's like absolutely like someone is smoking next to me forever.
Crazy.
All right, guys, I want to take a minute to tell you about Blue Chew. This episode is actually sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve stronger and harder erections and combat all forms of erectile dysfunction. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so there's no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. So there's no inconvenience here. Everything right where you're sitting right now, you can do it on your phone, on your computer, and you can go through the whole process without speaking to anybody, without having to put on a mask and leave your house. You just do it all from right where you are, and it gets shipped right to you. The process is very simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, once again, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's sildenafil and tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are also made in the USA and they prepare to ship direct, so it's also cheaper than a pharmacy. It's all pluses here, guys, no negatives. So if you think you can benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and safety information. And again, I know I said the word erectile dysfunction before. This isn't just if you've been diagnosed with something, as far as I know, and I work with all guys, so I think I have a pretty good vantage point of this, is that everybody has a down day. Maybe you were out on a date with a girl and you ate too much and you're feeling really full, and maybe that gets in the way of performing that you'd like to. Maybe you're with a new girl and you're very nervous and you don't think you'll be able to perform. Maybe you're with somebody that you've been with for 100 years and you're kind of bored and you need a little bit of a boost. For any reason, Blue Chew is going to make your life, your sex life, a lot better. And here, of course, we have a special deal for our listeners. You can try Blue Chew for free when you use promo code Shannon at checkout. That's S-H-A-N-N-O-N. All you have to do is pay $5 for shipping, which is nothing when in exchange, you are getting an amazing sex life. That's bluechew.com, promo code Shannon to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. All right, let's get back to the show. Yeah. Last thing. So I have a second date scheduled for tomorrow, just to catch up a little bit, Paul. I'm single forever, haven't had sex in 3 years and almost 7 months. And so I finally tried to put myself out there more. So I'm on stupid dating apps, which are the worst. And but I finally found one guy that I find attractive. We hung out once. Long story short, at the end of the date, I did the whole thing where I'm like, I didn't have cash. So I like used my card and I was like, oh, here, maybe you can split it or whatever. And he actually took my card, which that kind of stayed with me, but I'm trying to like not cut him out just because of that. And even though part of me knows this probably isn't going to go anywhere, but I feel like I should do the second date. And that is supposed to be tomorrow. And I wasn't going to talk about this because I don't want to talk shit, but now I feel like I have to. So he said that he wanted to do something different this time, like not sitting at a bar, which is a great idea. An activity of some sort would be good. And so he asked me yesterday if I had seen the movie Beetlejuice. And I'm like, yeah, like I'm 39 years old. We've all seen Beetlejuice. And then he said, have you ever been to the bar on 6th? And I'm like, a Beetlejuice bar? Like, I don't know what the connection is between these two questions. And he's like, yeah. And
then there is none. He's just like, yeah, no, I was just wondering, you want to go to this bar on 6th? Yeah.
So he sends me some pictures and then I Googled it. And there is apparently what's his name? Tim Burton, the guy who makes all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is like a Tim Burton / Beetlejuice theme bar.
Ah. All right.
I mean, it's still a bar.
Right.
Yeah,
you just look at different stuff.
No, this is terrible. This is a terrible idea.
Yeah,
I hate it deep down inside. And
you want to be reminded of how old you are as you get sloshed? Nah, I really don't.
It's just, who goes to a theme bar who like is a New Yorker? Like, it's
I
want to
go there
thing.
Right now. Yeah, you have no idea. I can't wait to find out where this fucking bar is and go there.
I wasn't as excited, but here's the thing. I think that he did it because of like my love for the paranormal and the weird. And I think that he thinks he nailed it with this idea of the Beetlejuice bar. So it's like, he made an effort and now I feel bad that I hate it so very much.
Yeah. Maybe it's a little slow.
You'll get to buy him drinks at another bar.
Yeah, I know. That was another thing. When I was looking at the menu of the place and the drinks. So Paul, just to go back, at the beginning of our date, I was asking him the questions that we normally ask guests on this show. And I was like, oh, so tell me about your worst date experience. And he was talking about taking a girl out and that they went to a place that was very expensive. They didn't have appetizers. So he was going to have to like pay for an entree. The drinks were like $15. And I'm like, but that's what a drink costs, right? $15. And so he was saying like, this was like a big deal. So now I was looking at the menu for this bar and the drink prices, and they are like $15, $16.
Ooh, so he's taking out a fancy dinner place.
Or I'm going to have to pay so much more this time.
Oh yeah, you're fucked.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be $200-$300 gone probably. Gonna see some Tim Burton shit though. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. There is part of me that kind of wants to cancel just because I know it's not going to go anywhere, but I don't know, I'm still figuring it out. I don't know.
I say go for it,
because you had to pay for the first fucking set of drinks. First date, you had to put in for, you know.
But I'm not excited about it, Paul. That's the thing. I'm not excited.
You're not excited.
No.
So, yeah. I didn't cancel, I say, but if it's just like, I say one more time, but if you're seriously like, you're not into him, fuck it. Yeah, don't go.
Let's see what happens.
I'm split down the middle.
Go to this Beetlejuice bar.
You just want to go.
I might go tomorrow.
You're going to be there.
I'm going for a LASIK consultation tomorrow. I might go to that bar afterwards.
Oh my God. Can you go?
What, before you go and like scope it out?
No,
see what's
like
up?
While I go?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
That would be fun.
Yeah. See all this fucking lurk.
Okay. Sleepy Hollow memorabilia. Whatever's hanging on the walls there. Yeah. $300
it's just like,
for a bar tab.
Let me see if I can. Oh, I should have done this beforehand, but let me see if I can pull up pictures of it really quickly. It's not called the Beetlejuice Bar. It's maybe Beetle Bar.
I bet it's not sanctioned by Tim Burton.
Yeah, because sure Beetlejuice Bar would be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just Beetle. Well, Beetle House. Okay, hold Beetle on. I'm gonna share my screen.
Is it all one word? Like,
no. Yeah, it is one word. So yep, here it is.
Yep.
I don't know. You still love it, Maddie?
I mean, it's gotta suck. Here's what I love about this place:
that
somebody
I'm gonna be miserable.
Has the gall to ask a girl on a date to this fucking place. I mean, it looks cool for me, but like if I took Erin there, she'd be like, how old are you? And I'd be like 35. So
to be fair, like my
Jack Skellington.
That's what I was saying. My sister and her husband and like their kids and everything, they love Tim Burton. They love A Nightmare Before Christmas, like love it. And I feel like my sister would love this place. So it's not maybe just overall a terrible idea, maybe just a terrible idea for me.
Yeah, I feel like you walk in there for a few minutes and walk out. I mean, it's also like, are they playing the soundtrack? How far are they taking it?
That's a great question. That's a great question.
Blasting the soundtrack, I'm out.
Oh no. Now I feel like I just have to go just for the, just to report back afterwards.
Absolutely. Do you think
it's worth the $400 you're going to spend?
Yeah, I know. plus I also like, I'm going to take an Uber home. Cause like after a couple of drinks, it's going to be late. I'm not going to want to take the bus home. So it's like, it's a lot more expensive for me to go on these dates than for the man who is supposed to be like the one paying for it all.
Yeah. Well, anyway. That'll be, you know, if he doesn't pony up this time, then that's that. And you're not even excited. So this could be, you know,
right.
The end.
And I would let him know such a thing. I'd be like, I wasn't even excited about this. And now you made me pay again.
Well, I'm going to have to. I feel like I'm going to have to like at least allude to like my two main problems, the like not paying and this like terrible bar, because I'm scared he's going to listen to these episodes and it's going to be like too like a barrage of negativity that he's getting unfairly because I haven't communicated any of it to him. So it's not fair.
How old is he?
38. He's 1 year younger than me. Well, okay. All right. Last thing. So last week on the show, one of the stories that we went over was the 36-year-old bodybuilder who was in love with a or married to a sex doll. And then it didn't work out with the sex doll. And then he fell in love with an ashtray at a nightclub. And he wanted to then install somehow some sort of vagina onto the ashtray so that he could make love to it. This is where we left off last week, Paul.
If you can't make love to it, it's ridiculous.
Right. Wow. Right.
It's insane.
So in our post show last week, which we don't record them, we don't air them. We just kind of hang out afterwards and bullshit. And so I decided to like take a little, I went on a deeper dive into this guy's Instagram page. And we were all intrigued and horrified by some of the stuff that we found. And so I was like, all right, we have to stop. We have to like do this actually on the show because I'm burning through like really fun stuff. So I am going to share with you now. His Instagram page. Oh wait, I lost it. Hold on 1 second.
I'm curious. This guy's to put a vagina in an ashtray. I mean, mentally unhinged for sure.
It's and yet it's weird because like he's a decent looking guy. He's like a really like good body, but there's a lot of weird shit that he's into. Which I guess I shouldn't like kink shame, but it's a lot. All right, here's one video. I don't know if I should put the sound on. Let's see what it sounds like. So for the listeners that aren't watching this, he is sitting with no shirt, but a lot of fur on his body. He's feeding the sex doll forcefully a hot dog.
What? The fuck?
And now he's leaning and the tramping it and eating the hot dog out of her mouth and stroking her body.
Jesus Christ.
It's so cringy.
It's just, this is like an emotional problem, right? This is like, I thought he was like a deviant, which I guess is an emotional problem too, but this is like, he's in love with this doll.
Well, and this doll is his ex. This is his ex. I'm going to go ahead and go over to his regular page now, because there was a video that we watched where he was just like smelling everything.
That's right.
I'm scrolling through here. By the way, for the listeners that aren't watching, you can go to YouTube to watch us, or gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use promo code TTI. You'll get a 1 week free trial and you can watch all the videos. Here's him doing, I'm going to take the sound off. He's doing, I guess, some sort of sex show on stage with a doll.
I really feel like this is all just a ruse.
I don't think so.
Instagram, like an Instagram following. I mean, it's unique, you know?
So yeah, you got that weirdo for publicity, but I mean, I want him to shave too. You said he had this great body. I was hoping he was shaved down. I didn't know.
Yeah. The hair is a lot. But okay, all right. This is a whole thing. I'm trying to find the one now where he is smelling everything. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that this is just for the sake of Instagram. I think this is who he is. Oh, here he is with the ashtray, everybody. We were trying to find this picture last week. This is him and his new love, the ashtray. Look, this is like the Married at First Sight couple. This is how he wants to look at his wife, the way this guy looks at this ashtray.
I mean, it has to be a joke.
Somebody's going to tell her about this whole thing.
It has to be a joke, you said, Paul?
It has to be. This is too fucking wild for that.
Right. I mean, it's either that or we're watching a serial killer in the making.
I don't know. I think he's just this weird. Here he is milking a cow.
Yeah, that's too many weird things in a row. I fell in love with an ashtray. I'm milking a cow. It's just, I'm going to do a bunch of odd shit to build followers. It has to be. I don't know where he's going with this. I don't know if he can tour with this show, but...
Here he is watching a movie with his significant other, which is a sex doll. Wow.
Yeah. See, I'm just not buying that he's that kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think he's this kind of crazy. I mean, he just took the wig off of the sex doll and put it on himself. Right?
This guy's fucking hilarious. I want to hang out with this guy. You should go on a date with him at the fucking Beetlejuice bar.
I'm terrified. I am terrified that he'll end up wearing my skin. Oh, God. Wait, I'm never going to. Oh, that's right. We're getting there now. We're getting closer to it. Here, he's doing a face masks with all of his sex dolls. You know,
like Ed Gein shit, man.
Yeah. Like you do with your girlfriends. Oh, and he's wearing like a girl's tank top.
Yeah. There's too many strange things. There's too many, and he's too fit to be fucking an ashtray. That doesn't make any sense. He's right. Like taking care of himself, but why is there an ashtray in his life? And then why would he fall in love with it? And this is a joke. He's fucking with us.
Like, he's not so crazy that he can't put together a workout routine and like a diet that's going to make his body look like that. You know what I mean? So he's capable of thought. I really just think this is all for clout.
I think he's just very weird. Sometimes like guys that are like too into their body are like also very weird in other ways. Cause I've experienced that before, not this kind of weird, but this is the last one we'll watch and then we'll move on. But in this one, are we killing you at this, Paul?
What? I mean, there's two dolls in this room now. Now what's about to happen? I mean, this is just porn, right? I mean,
no.
It would make sense if he fucked them, and then
there's going to be no fucking. I don't want to ruin it now, so I want you to see it for yourself.
If he feeds him another hot dog, I'm going to be so angry.
So yeah, I know what's coming up, and this is maybe now the part that makes me think maybe there's something.
Yeah, so he has a hole under his arm of his shirt that he just took off, and he just smelled it, and he loves it. And now he's going to the other armpit. Other hole in the armpit, smelling it and looking at the heavier one of his sex dolls. Now he's taking off his shorts.
Okay, so now it's going to, I mean, either way, whether he's serious or it's a joke, I mean, he's gonna know how it comes off, that he's deranged. He's known as this from now on, right? I mean, this is when he's smelling his shorts. I mean, I hate that. I hate that a lot.
It's so, I don't understand that purpose.
I get it. You know what I mean?
What do you get about this?
You ever like, you ever see that video of the chimpanzee who fucking scratches his butt and then he sniffs it and he falls over?
Yeah.
We're all just chimps that want to smell weird shit.
I get that you would smell things, but it wouldn't be your thing. I mean, I get that you would go, are these dirty? Are these clean? Are these dirty? But I don't know why you would like just wallow in it like this. He's grabbing everything and smelling it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, why stage a scene with your two sex dolls and post it on Instagram?
That's the mentally ill part for sure. Yeah. I understand like enjoying a good funk every now and again, you know?
I'm going to skip ahead a little bit.
I mean, now he's just.
Oh, good. Now he's moist.
He's very sweaty. That whole process. Oh, now he's getting his socks.
You never smell your socks?
No.
That's a yes. Come on. No, there's too much hesitation.
No, I was waiting. I was letting Paul answer.
Oh, sorry.
For what purpose? What is the purpose of smelling them?
Because they stink.
Oh, no. I mean, people will smell it to see if you could wear it again. I wore this yesterday. Can I wear it today? I get that. But beyond that, this is just fucking out of line.
Yes, this isn't like my process when I get undressed at the end of the night, smelling each article of clothing. And then
you ever have like a really like a hot, moist-ish fart, and then you take your underwear off and you're like, let's see if this caught any. No?
No.
Yeah, me neither. This guy's a freak, huh?
No, I'm not into the farts, any of this stuff. I mean, like, if I smell bad things, I don't want to get closer to them.
All right. So now he's now just putting all, he's smelling everything again and putting everything back on. What really perplexes me the most is the hole in the armpit and him drawing attention to it.
That's what I'm thinking too.
I don't understand it.
That's the part that makes it feel real.
There he goes again with the armpit hole.
Yep.
Yeah, he's obsessed with it. There needs to be some kind of wellness check for this fella. Like,
I agree.
I can tell you right now, he's not well.
No.
He's not well, and he's so big. When he really comes apart mentally, it's going to be a problem for a lot of
people.
That's
the scary part.
When he finally flips, it's going to be over.
Yeah, that's when he's going to, like, you're going to find, like, real body parts there.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, corpses. Wasn't there a story about, it's like a really, really old story about a guy and the woman that he loved died, but they were never actually together. He was just obsessed with her. And he ended up digging up her body and kept her corpse and like dressed it up and all of this stuff. And then later on, he died, I believe, I have to look this up because I don't remember the names of the people, but he died and they ended up being buried together. And everyone's like, oh, it's so sweet, you know, this couple, but they weren't a couple is what they found out afterwards. He was just obsessed with her and then just like took ownership of her body. Just so many sick fucks in this world. Anyway, that's it. Okay. And I'm freaking you out now.
I mean, I wonder if there's like with people like that, once you're that unhinged, there's no real self-awareness in it. Once you dig that body up and you're living with it and you're in love with it, they're probably sleeping 8 hours pretty solid without worrying, right? That nuts, right?
You're right. Because then at that point, you're probably isolating yourself from everybody else because you want to hide it. And then that's just your whole life now. It's just you and the corpse. So there's no one to judge you.
You're in this fantasy. You never have the moments of like, God damn, I'm coming apart. Something's wrong with me. I don't have those split second, I guess. I'm just always curious about that. If there's any awareness, if there's a flash of clarity, like I've really lost my fucking mind.
But isn't that like the sign of like real, and I don't want to use the word crazy, but you know, I'll use it for this purpose. Like, isn't that like the sign of like real craziness is like the lack of awareness?
Because
like, you know, us, all of us and like the crazy shit we do, we're like going through hard times and we're always, I feel like, self-reflecting. Am I crazy? Am I losing it? But the people who really do lose it, I feel like don't do that self-check.
Yeah, I'm sure they lose it right away. I'm sure a psychologist could explain it easily, but yeah, it seems to be that. And that's the part I'm always curious. I'm like, I guess not. It's just, you're in, that's it.
Yeah.
You have no thought to that, which is wild, but yeah.
I'm going to ask my therapist about it, even though, like we said last week, she does nothing to help me. And I actually think now she enables me. After my last session with my therapist, I do feel like she enables me to do the worst things in my life that I do. I think I'm like an experiment for her.
Yeah.
By the way, I've had a couple of my posts flagged and reported on Instagram, and that guy is feeding hot dogs to real sex dolls. And it's fine. And it's open to the public, right?
Yeah.
Makes all you want to climb a clock tower, doesn't it?
Yeah. What a world. What a fucking world.
One quick moment away from the show again. Hey there, auto mechanics and super cool do-it-yourself guys who work on their own cars. I want to tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best prices. This is your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. RockAuto.com has been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts that you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to counter guys who need to order your parts, aren't really sure what you're looking for, never have quite what you need, and then after all the hassle, will still charge you storefront markups. At RockAuto.com, you can easily find everything you need, and whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or working on your own car, everyone has access to the same incredible pricing at RockAuto.com. So if you're a car guy, right now, go to RockAuto.com and check out all the parts available for your car. You're going to have so much fun looking at car parts. So once again, go to rockauto.com. No promo code needed as their pricing is already that good. When you order, make sure to tell rockauto.com that you heard about them on the Thing Is podcast. rockauto.com. All right, let's get back into it. All right. On that note, we're going to go into our questions now. Paul, usually the first question that we ask new guests on the show is to tell us a story about either your worst date experience or weirdest sexual experience. What do you got?
I guess it's a little bit of both. I mean, there's a few stories, like, I think, but I was hooking up with this girl, and I don't know if it's that crazy, but it was just like, there was a girl that was, I won't even say the town, but it was a town I would go do shows in, and then we met. Started hooking up. And there's one of those things, we stayed in touch. And then when I go back to that town, we'd hook up again. It was just like that. It wasn't a real relationship. We were friendly in that way. And then I remember one time, like, and it's not that crazy, but I remember like one time she drank a lot and I don't drink anymore, you know? And so we went back to the hotel and started to hook up. And then at some point I'm like, I don't have a condom. Are you, I'm like, we've been together before, but I'm like, you're on birth control, right? She's like, no, or I'm late. I haven't taken a few days. I'm like, well, that's, you know, that's it. All right. We can't do anything tonight. And she was so drunk that she started like crying. Like I was sort of somehow rejecting her or something like that. I mean, crying. And like, I'm like, listen, it's just, we shouldn't do, we can't have a kid. And maybe I'm being very like cold. I'm trying not to be mean, but I'm like, we can't do it. I can't risk having a kid. Like that. And then she cries and cries and cries. And I remember I had to, she was crying so much and wanted us to have sex, just whatever, fuck it, doesn't matter. And I'm like, no, I can't have. And I'm just like, I can't have a baby. Like, and so I went to the bathroom and waited it out until she stopped crying. I remember walking naked to a bathroom and I would peer out like 8 minutes later. I'm like, are you okay? And I hear her sniffling. I just shut the door. Stand and stare at my naked self in the mirror. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm not fucking hooking up with any more women on the road. And then I just waited for 20, 30 minutes until it finally, she just cried herself to sleep. And that was that. And I went to bed and just watched TV and that was fine. But we hooked up several times and the deal breaker on this sort of not real relationship was that I stayed with her one time. Like I go to town in between gigs and she's like, one time I went to stay with her and she was like, oh, I'm hungover. Here's the code to the door. Let yourself in. I'm taking a nap, whatever. And I come in and I've like got off a plane. I'm tired. I'm like, I got to use the bathroom. I got to pee. And then I go in and she's left like a floater in the toilet. No. I mean, yeah. And a big one, the size of like, yeah, full grown man floater. And I'm like, and I'm so tired. So disgusting. And I'm like, oh, maybe the toilet's messed up. I flush the toilet. It goes down fine. I'm like, all right, that really bugs me, but I got to stay here for 2 days. And I did. And then, you know, we kept doing this off and on with all these little things of like, she's not on birth control. She doesn't flush the toilet when she shits. I'm like, why do I keep coming back to this? And then she talks me into, I'm going to the Bahamas a few months later to do a gig. She comes down there to visit me. We're staying in the same room. And then I go to the bathroom and she's left another floater.
Oh no.
That's two different countries. She hasn't flushed. Two and big ones too. And I'm like, that's it. She drinks too much so I can outlast her every night. Every night I would just, she would get super drunk and I'm just like, please do not touch me. It ruined the sex immediately. I mean, I can never hook up with her ever again. That's two floaters in two different countries. I can't be a part of it. So every night she'd pass out and I just like, thank God. I just watch TV until she flies out. But that was the end of that. That's all. I mean, I don't know if that makes me a weirdo that I'm that like intolerant of it, but I'm like, if you can't flush the toilet, I'll give you one, but not two.
It is a weird thing, especially when you know that a guy is going to be around. You would think like if she lives, does she live by herself?
Yes.
Okay. So if you live by yourself, then that means you are aware that this is something that you might do because you're the only one there. So if you poop, go on with your day and go back, you're going to see that you left poop there. So you know that you have the ability to do this thing. So if you know a guy is coming, you would think, and it's like, oh, let me just take a peek in the toilet before this guy comes and make sure. I mean, like at work, you know, there's lots of disgusting men at Gas Digital. And there are many times where I guess they poop and then shut the lid and flush and leave and don't open it again to check that it all went down. So I've like seen floaters in there many times, but that's really? Like disgusting men at work. This is a girl. We're supposed to be less disgusting.
Yes. I understand. Like men are like animals and disgust. Even that's unacceptable to me. Like, I don't know. I'm a man and I've learned at some point, I don't want to see it again. Once I shit, I would want it. And I've always verified with my eyes, unless I go, the toilet's broken. Someone's got to come in here and do something. But if it's operational, it's just crazy that you wouldn't go, I need to verify that it's down and gone. And then we can go about our day. But I have an extra 4 seconds to do that and go,
yeah,
it's gone. I'm leaving. But to just that, like the crazy person feeding hot dogs to a real sex doll, to fucking not have the awareness to look, to just flush or just get up from a toilet and go about your day, it's crazy to me.
You guys are a little too worried about your turds.
You know? Well, this is just consideration for other human beings.
Shit happens. No pun intended. But every time I hear like, oh, I hear like a scream from the bathroom. Ah, you didn't flush. Like, I laugh every time.
So you do this often.
Okay. It's one of my favorite things.
But I have a weird thing too with like guys being disgusting sometimes. And this is maybe I'm off and I am a tad bit OCD. I'm not the neatest person in the world, but I've had buddies that are, I feel like truly disgusting. I know them and their girlfriends. I had a buddy that would never dry off getting out of a shower. He had foot odor he did nothing about. He would fart and scratch his balls no matter who was in the house. And I would started to like go look at her and go, what makes, how could you sit on this man's penis? And I start to resent her. I'm like, how do you find this attractive on any level? Well, these are my close friend, but I'm like, I can't get to the bottom. In my head, I'm like, God damn, that's grounds for dismissal. That's no way.
I think we could be friends because I also do this kind of judgment on other people. But that makes me think a couple like that is the type of couple that like a Maddie couple, for example, that like farting in front of each other is like a funny thing to do, you know, like blowing up the bathroom right before the other one's going to go in and take a shower or something. This is like a part of their relationship where they're not as turned off by like the disgusting stuff.
It is what it is, right? You got two people in one apartment with one shitter. It's like, you're going to smell things every now and again. Sometimes you're going to forget, or sometimes the fucking, you know, the water doesn't take the whole thing down. You get a turd coming back up to say hello. Well, it's just part of life. You know?
I get that people like you do, you live together, it's long-term. You're not kind of go, I'm going to go drive somewhere else to use the bathroom. But, you know, so like not to be a flagrant foul, not to celebrate it, not to leave the door open, to shut the door, turn the fan on, to wipe properly, to make sure it goes down. You got to do that at least. And you start blasting farts, I feel like it kills the sex. For me, it does. I'll hold it.
I agree with you.
I'll take funny over sex any day.
Not me anymore. Maybe him. Not now.
The part that I am having a hard time digesting is... I was trying to use
Let's
a different
see how many
word.
Shit puns we can do.
I was trying to use a different word. I couldn't find one. Mm. So when she was crying, because you guys wouldn't have sex. So the first question is like, why didn't one of you maybe just like run to a store and get condoms if it was going to create such a reaction?
Yeah, it was really sudden.
I got a hypothesis. This lady's so fucking lazy. She won't flush the toilet the whole way. She's not going to go to the store for condoms. You know, she's not going out.
That's true. She's getting back at me. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I didn't even think in the moment. It was super late. And it was just like, I was sober. She's drunk. We should both go to bed. It's 3-4 in the morning. Anyway, we start to,
I gotcha.
Do it at the last minute. And then she just started to cry suddenly, like I was rejecting her and like pulling on my arm, like, oh, come on. And I'm like, oh, no. This is
crazy. And so to make her feel like she's not rejected, you ran away and hid in the bathroom for an hour.
Yes. I mean, that's nuts. I don't know which one of you is crazier in this scenario.
I'm what?
I don't know which one of you is crazier in this scenario. Her weeping in a bed alone. Are you peeking out of the fucking bathroom door every 18 minutes? Like, are you still out there? It's like, you know, she's fucking weeping. Yeah.
I'm like, have you settled down? We cannot have a baby. And then I hear sniffling, shut the door. Just rub my face in a bathroom mirror. And just like, I can't believe this. I get myself in these situations with these crazy people. And then I just waited it out. Yeah. I mean, I can't. So I didn't think, like, at 3:45 in the morning, I was not willing. I was just ready to go to bed. It was more important than the sex. If it could happen, great, but I'm tired. Let's do whatever. And now you're crying. It's not worth a trip.
I guess also, because this was kind of like a hookup in whatever town this is. It's not like a girlfriend. So I guess like it's not maybe worth the whole conversation to calm it down and work around it, where instead you were just like, I'll wait for it to be over.
That was pretty much it. Yeah. Okay. And it was sort of like a hookup that she would something. We were never like truly like bonded in any way. I'm like, this never should be a relationship. But, you know, you come back to town and you're there and it's convenient and you both are sort of into it. And it's been fun a couple of times. So it's just very easy. And so I just kept going back, you know,
I gotcha.
Like once or twice a year. It was just. And so it finally that was enough. You know,
so how long was this whole ordeal again?
It probably like. I would go to this town.
No, this one times. This one instance where she was weeping.
How long?
Yeah, start to finish from where we're like, oh, we can't do this to I can finally go to bed.
15 to 20 minutes.
All right. How far was the nearest store?
I mean, at that hour, you know, I would have had to probably drive a couple miles and
I would have tried the front desk. They gotta have something like that complimentary, no?
Truthfully, once she started crying, I wasn't interested anymore. Like once it started, got to that level, I'm like,
that spurs me on. That's where we fucking part ways, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
You guys parted ways a long time ago.
Oh. Yeah.
All right, guys, before we go any further, fans of the show over the age of 21, I want to tell you about Yo Kratom, the home of the $60 kilo. If you're a longtime listener of the show, you already know all about Yo Kratom. But if not, once again, they are home of the $60 kilo. And that's right, $60 for a full kilo. If you're currently a fan of Kratom, you can be getting it from our pretty much longest running sponsor, Yo Kratom, for just $60 a kilo. As a Kratom user, which I'm assuming you are if you haven't skipped ahead about 30 seconds, then it's time to stop overpaying or having to go to corner stores or gas stations to get what you're looking for. As you probably already know, if you go to a gas station or a smoke shop or whatever, you're pretty much at the mercy of whatever strains they have, whatever questionable brands they have. You don't know the quality of whatever is in those bags. At Yo Kratom, they have high quality Kratom for wholesale prices. So you're not going to beat that deal. If you go to Yo Kratom right now, you can scan through all of the strains that they have. They even have their own strain called Trainwreck, which is a blend of a bunch of, in my opinion, the best strains. They come in powders, capsules, whatever way you like your Kratom, they have it available there. One more time, thank you to Yo Kratom for supporting this show. And if you're into Kratom, Yo Kratom is the one place where, once again, you can find $60 kilos. These guys are one of the biggest Kratom wholesalers, and they created YoKratom.com so that you can buy directly at wholesale prices. Last time, YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Okay, let's get back into it. Okay, let's move on to our next segment, which is bad things.
Bad things with you.
It's where we talk about fight stories, physical altercations. If you've been in more than one fight, then the most memorable one.
I have a thing like I haven't drank in years, but I was really a bad drunk through my 20s. And I'm a short dude, so I didn't start a lot of fights. I've only been in one fist fight, and I started a lot of shit with my mouth. Cause a lot of it was trying to go for the joke, but I'm in a bar. I say the wrong thing to a big guy. But the thing I can't figure out, and it's not one instance that I've been in one fist fight for all that shit talking, but I've been choked by 20 different men. Towns all over America, and I can never figure out why they all, it's always guys bigger than me reaching down and wringing my neck, like, shut the fuck up. And I don't, I would make me laugh because, and for years I've been trying to figure out, is it because I'm smaller and if they hit me, they might kill me? Or is it just because they want me to shut my mouth? Like, you shut up, you little asshole, or what? I don't know, but it happened cities all over America where I would say something, dude, I don't know. And just big guys would strangle the fuck out of me.
You're also not like that short where it's like a little person that they're like, oh, if I hit them, that'll be the end of it. You're not that short.
Thank you for saying that. You're
welcome. And it's a lot coming from me.
I appreciate it. 5'7".
But it's just like, that is weird. Also, that stands out to me that maybe you're just picking fights with like the most dangerous guys, because like in my life of like reading stuff about domestic violence, and it's always a sign that the guy could potentially work up to the point where they can kill you if they ever go for your throat, because that's the type that is like, that will eventually kill you. So it's scary that they're trying to choke you.
There's a weird thing too, that maybe came out later in adulthood. And this was a thing from childhood where I remember there was a sort of a bully. My cousin's friend, who was older than me, would bully me around the neighborhood as a kid. I remember this, and he didn't choke me, but it was a thing where he always would pick on me, shove me around, all this shit. He was just an asshole. And I do remember one day, and I was like, I was definitely a small kid, smaller, and he was 3 or 4 years older. And I remember one day, and it was a big like pivotal moment, maybe for comedy and everything in my life, where one day he gotten my face again. And I was, you know, you're just fed up. So I knew he had sort of like big teeth, almost buck teeth. And he had, you know, and at that time I was starting to curse, and I called him something like, and I remember thinking, I go, if I say this, he's probably going to knock me out, but I'm going for it. And I said, you Bugs Bunny looking mother, like, and he just fucking leveled me. And I remember getting up, but he was crying. And it was that lesson of like, oh, that's the trick. If you can take the punch, say the thing, and be willing to take the punch, you can hurt them more. Sort of like that. And that might have fallen me to adulthood with bigger guys. Like, talk shit, they may strangle you. But I remember a couple of those big guys that strangled me at bars were like so upset, like almost to tears. And that made me laugh so hard. That I love
it. It rules.
You're just like, an evil person.
I don't know. And when I was drunk, I didn't care whether I lived or died. So I was like, fuck it, strangle me. And then I just laugh in their face as they started to tear up. I mean, you know, if one of them admitted, they could have killed me in a second, but I guess they weren't truly bad dudes. And I was an awful pest. But so
what was the one fight that you got into?
I got in a fight really early on. Like, I was just started comedy. So I started comedy at 22 years old. And early on, I had a drinking buddy, Randy, who I'm 5'7". My buddy Randy's like 5'3". And he might have talked more shit than me. And so we're not a good pair. And he bumped a guy's chair in a bar, like a redneck bar down here in North Carolina one time. And the guy stood up. It was a real tall guy and spun around and like got in his face. And Randy's just very apologetic. All right, whatever. He just was like, I'm sorry, I didn't even know I hit it. Then I got in, like, I got in the guy, I went to defend Randy, who didn't even care, and got in the guy's face. And I think I called him at this time, this is 27 years ago. So I called him he was a redneck, like a Billy Ray Cyrus looking motherfucker. There was something like that. Country star looking motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And then it was a brawl. and he was the bouncer's friend.
Uh-oh.
And so we got thrown out by the bouncers, who let us fight it out on the hood of a car. My other buddy tried to intervene, and they just like sucker punched him from the side and knocked him out because we just picked on the wrong guy. I mean, I didn't pick on him. I was doing the right thing, but I should have let it go. We didn't know who we were fucking with. So that was one time. He was like big, tall guy. I don't know. He probably got more shots than on me. I had a black eye, but I was like 22. So it was sort of like exciting. It was fun. And then our buddy Randy, the little guy that I was trying to defend, was in there drinking with them. He never even came out. He just stayed in drinking.
What a fuck.
That's awesome. I know. Still give him shit for it. Like, defended your honor and almost got fucking killed. That's what I remember now. We had to call the police. They wouldn't let us back in because the bouncers ran. You know, they're like, we're not letting you back. And then we had to call the police to go get Randy out of the bar. To get him. He's like, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. We almost got killed for you. Piece of shit. So, yeah. That's the only one.
So you've never experienced like winning a fight?
As a kid, I did. As a kid. But I don't count those. Like, it's such a sloppy fight as a kid, and it doesn't feel that serious. So, yeah, there was a handful. Like, I lost more than I won because I was a little kid. But then a couple times I got a hold of someone, once or twice. I think you get a good punch in, and then it just sort of stopped. Or you're rolling around, pulling on hair and screaming, kicking and shit. And the other kids are like, all right. And it's just a sloppy mess. So I think I did. But it didn't feel like, I don't have this amazing, like, I never knocked someone out. Mm-hmm. Never a clean fight or I don't know, just always felt very sloppy and just like, okay, that's enough. Yeah, we gotcha. Rolled around for 10 minutes, this fucking hurts both of us, whatever. We're over it.
Okay, you know? All right, that brings us to our final segment, which is scary things. And this is where we talk about weird, creepy, unexplainable, possibly paranormal experiences. This could be anything from actually seeing a full-bodied apparition, something moving across the room, having a dream that came true, anything that freaked you out in the moment.
I can tell you this one. So, and I don't know these references, you might have to look them up because I'm older. I'm 46. So I don't know if anyone would get this. So when I was a kid, I was about 10. There was a movie called Mask that came out. Mm-hmm. Not Jim Carrey, but the one with Cher.
Rocky, yep. Rocky something was the guy's
Rocky
name,
Dennis.
Right? Yeah, that's
Rocky
it.
Rocky Dennis, and he had like Elephant Man syndrome. Yep. Okay, yep. So my stepmom takes me to see this. And I don't remember being horrified at the movie, but I was weirded out. Like, what the? All right. I saw it. I don't think I thought much of it. A few weeks later, I'm staying with my dad and my stepmom. And I'm in like an upstairs bedroom, and they stay downstairs. And somewhere in the middle of the night, I had like the... on the headboard above my head, there was like a koala bear stuff. And this night I woke up, middle of the night, I look up, it's not the koala bear, it's that kid's head. Ugh. And I'm like, I mean, to this day, the reason I'm telling this is because everything's so vivid. I felt everything and it went on and on. I look up, so I'm scared. But then I had the self-awareness to go, all right, this is a dream. I'm shaking it off. I look up again, it's the koala bear. I look back down, it's its face. Every time I keep checking, so I'm like, fuck, I get out of bed. I can still remember the carpet under my feet. I can remember I sort of started to cry and shake. I'm like, I just got to get downstairs and get them. And I remember like grabbing the door handle, how it felt. I remember the windows open and trees blowing and everything's like it was. Going to the top of the stairs, screaming for my dad. He never came. And I'm like, I can't go down there. I can't run out of the house. I don't know where I'm going to go. And I went back to bed and I kept seeing his face. And this felt like 3 or 4 fucking hours. I swear I was looking at a clock and watching the time slowly tick away. And I'm like, I have to make it to daylight. I have to make it to daylight. But I'd look up and I'd see his face. And I'm like, And at some point I grabbed it when it turned back to the koala bear and shoved it under the blankets. And then fucking never looked at it again until daylight came. And that was it. And that's fucking weird. That's not a good story, I guess, but it was so fucking. It's the only time I've been truly spooked like that.
So how old did you say you were? 8?
10, I guess. I was like looking up the movie. The movie came out in 85 and it was a few months, whatever after that.
And what do you, looking back at it, what do you think caused that?
I really don't know if it was just a crazy nightmare, but I've never had a dream, and I've had nightmares since where I could feel the time, I could feel like the door handle, everything was the same the next day when I got up. It was under the sheets, the blankets looked the same, the window was open, the trees were the same, everything was exactly like it was real and felt the way it would feel. And it was just like, and I asked my dad, I'm like, you didn't hear me screaming? They're like, you didn't hear anything last night. I'm like, I was fucking shrieking, I swear. Yeah. I'm like crying, shaking. And at some point I put it and waited till sunrise, like put it under the sheets. I might've passed out for a few minutes, woke up at sunrise. And like, it was that stuffed animal. So
the only like, as like a, you know, more on the rational side of an explanation is it's like, it's dark. And, you know, they say that like our brains always try to make patterns of things. So maybe it being, you know, dark, your vision being a little fuzzy and just having seen this movie, maybe like at a quick glance, your mind was wanting to like put it together as the face in the movie that you saw. Maybe.
It's a long way to go though, from like an adorable koala bear to that monstrosity, you know?
I feel like people have real good ghost stories, and I've got one where I think it's a koala bear turned into an elephant man. Like, this is bullshit. I'm like, for 46 years of life, though, I've never had anything spook me like that moment. And I've had other nightmares where you wake up like, oh shit, but you wake up. This one felt like every second of it was very real, and there was no moment of like, oh, I woke up. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It felt like it really happened. It's the only time in my life.
Did you keep the koala bear after that?
So my dad was getting visitation, so I don't know what I did, but I went, you know, he'd get me every couple of weeks. So I don't think I had to care about it. Like, okay. I don't remember seeing it again. I didn't throw it away. I just went back to my mom's and tried to forget about it. So.
And also when you were looking at it, and it seems like you were glancing at it for a second and not looking at it for too long, but was it moving at all? Or it was just like a still image of Rocky Dennis's face?
It was a still image of his face. It was like the bear turned into, it was just the head, a giant version of that head sitting on the headboard. And I'm like, I mean, just like, it's awful when that's like 6 inches above your face. You're like, I don't know what, it didn't move. It didn't talk. It sucked though. It was so scary, you know?
But also like, why wouldn't you have like gone to like sleep on the couch or something? Like, you put yourself through it for that whole night.
Also, you had to factor in though, my dad and I've had this weird relationship, and he was sort of like had a hot temper. And so he's not, when I went to the top of the stairs and screamed for him, I'm sort of, that would be the last resort to wake him up.
I see.
Yep.
He'd sort of be an asshole. So I wasn't comfortable in the setting already. It was a new house. They moved to a new house in a new town. There was a lot of that stuff. Like, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm at in the neighborhood. You're right. I don't know why I didn't go down. It was something like staying at the top of the stairs where I was scared to go down those too. So I don't know if the whole thing is a dream and I was sleepwalking. So that's why it felt real. I don't know to this day. And I know it might be a shitty story, but it scared the fuck out of me.
Last thing. So you said when you woke up that the koala bear was under the covers, right?
Yeah.
So it like something happened. Like it wasn't all completely made up.
No.
As like a dream. Thinking. Yeah.
I'm like, maybe it was just all I envisioned all this. And I finally just grabbed it when it was the koala bear, shoved it under, which was real, and put it under. And that was that. And the rest of it was just my mind. Like you said, seeing something different in the light, but it kept happening. And it felt like the time was moving so slow. It felt like this went on for 3 hours and I could feel it. And I was like hyperventilating and crying and shaking and sweaty and exhausted. I felt all those things you could feel. So it didn't, it just wasn't a blur. I was just like hours of panic, it felt like. So if it wasn't just a nightmare, it was a real good one, like thorough, frightening.
And if it wasn't a nightmare, what would be your guess as to what was happening?
I mean, first of all, Rocky Dennis seemed like a good dude. Yeah. I hate to think that he'd do that to me, right? I mean, he was like a sweetheart, right? He just had dealt bad luck himself. So it wouldn't be like haunted from that. I don't know. I don't know what the takeaway is. Nothing other than it like shell shocked me. And no other nightmares have gotten to me like this.
Wow. I mean, I guess the worst case scenario, if we're going complete paranormal route, it would be some sort of like a menacing entity, like a demon, or not as evil as a demon, like something maybe a step below the evilness of a demon, just trying to fuck with you. Yes, it was just your dad. Put the mask on it.
Yeah.
And while we're here, this is the last question, and I didn't prepare you for this, but what do you think happens when we die?
All right. Well, I like to think there is an afterlife, heaven, whatever. I like to hope, but I have no proof of anything. So I'm like, I don't know. I'll still say I don't know, but here's what I hope. And so I do hope there's an afterlife. I hope it's just not the power goes off and that's it.
What does the afterlife look like?
I don't know. And I don't know if it's too much of my Southern upbringing, you know, here or something, like raised in church a little bit. Maybe I still have half for that story. So the heaven thing, I'd like to think something like that, where you're truly at peace. I don't know if it's like like people think, where you get to just stay up there and look back down at the world and hear what people say about you or watch over people. I don't know if it's like that, but I would like to think it's a peaceful place where there's none of this nonsense or pain and all those things. That's a very corny way to put it, but I guess I do believe and hope that that's what it is afterwards. It's very vague. So I don't know.
And so if there is that heaven aspect of it, is there also a hell aspect of it?
You know, that I can't reconcile. I don't know. I think about that a lot of times and I'm like, yeah, you know, for some people, you really hope it is there. There's gotta be something. It's gotta be some punishment, right? Dealt out, but fuck that one. I don't think about as much, of course.
Yeah. You always that's all I think about.
I'm gonna go to the good one, you know,
yeah.
And I want it to be really good.
I just finished a binge of the TV show Lucifer. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
So it's 6 seasons. And because I have like a real binge problem, like once I start something, it consumes my life until I can finish it. Like on the bus or like walking around in the shower, I have like on my phone, until I finish it, I have to go through it. And so how in the TV show Lucifer, how hell was depicted is, so everyone has their own hell. And it's like a hell loop. And it's basically of like something that you feel the most guilty about. It's that situation just happening over and over and over again. And what that particular depiction of it, why that bothers me is because really it's the better people that feel guilty about things. The evil, like sociopathic, psychopathic, the people that are really doing the hurting, they don't give a shit. Like they're not the ones that are feeling guilty and losing sleep at night over murdering people. It's the good people that feel guilty. So like in that idea of hell, I feel like that's not fair. But in how it was in the movie though, it's because like, I know it's like, it's a TV show, whatever, but like, I like to take bits and pieces from everything to create like what feels comfortable for me to believe is a possibility. And I do like though, that it's because it's something you feel guilty about and you're going through it over and over and over again, that there is a chance that at some point you can reconcile it. And then you get to go to heaven once you like resolve that thing, which I like that part.
Is it just like Groundhog Day for guilt? It's not like it compounds or it gets worse and builds on. It's just, here we go again. I feel terrible.
You know what? They described it in different ways. Sometimes it seemed like it was just the same thing happening again and again. And then other times, because it was like the demons that were in charge of it in the TV show. And so they would switch it up, but like the main part was still the same. Like for example, like Lucifer at one point had to kill one of his brothers and stab him in the chest. And so like, he would keep feeling compelled to stab his brother in the chest, even though he hated the fact that he had to do it and felt so guilty about it. And so it would be like in different situations, but it would always be the thing where he stabbed his brother in the chest, even though he didn't want to.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah. It would be torture.
Yeah. But but I understand like, so that's good at least that there is some sort of like punishment or like justice in the end, but wouldn't it be the ideal thing if then you could like reason or learn your way out of it and then you get to go to the good place?
Yes, that would be better. I mean, yeah, and I've never thought about it from that angle of that TV show, but yes, but
it would. Why not?
I know I don't spend a lot of time thinking about hell. It's weird that you ask because I never think, it's so little time thinking about hell. You're like, I hope it's there for the bad people that stays focused on like trying to get to this place for yourself, which is maybe bad too, but
no, I think that's probably a healthier way to think. But I think about hell a lot where I've had, and we've talked about on the show, like I've had several dreams about hell that like I ended up there either accidentally or on purpose and like experienced what it was like. And it was actually that it was just like knowing that it was the same thing that was going to happen again and again. I don't remember what the thing was now, but it was just like, I was stuck in the same thing again and again forever.
I was going to tell you too, the only other nightmare I have or thing like that, the hell thing made me think, is I haven't drank in 15 years and I have that occasionally, the I've drank again dream, which is fucking awful. You know what I mean? So I guess that's a recovering alcoholic thing where you're like, I'm drinking and the guilt starts to come in and then you wake up sort of gasping like, oh fuck, I'm still sober. Okay. But it is that jarring sort of like,
you ever wake up and be like,
my life,
that wasn't so bad.
Maybe I can have a drink.
Yeah, let's have mimosas. Come on, honey. We're going out of the town.
I wonder if someone's done that. If some recovering alcoholic done that somewhere, like, oh shit, wakes up, I'm like, I am. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad. You know, I'll just have one or two. And I won't drive.
Yeah. Until he has that Rocky dentist fucking dream. That'll scare you. That'll be.
I feel like it is the case, though, with like dreams and stuff of anything you're trying to deprive yourself of. Because I feel like in like my times of like doing different kinds of like diets, and then I'll have a dream that like I went off the deep end in eating, or like now I'm a vegan and I'll have dreams that like I ate something and then a second later, I'm like, wait a minute, that was cheese. Why did I just eat that? And then like have a whole thing, or I can't believe I just ate cheese, even though this is obviously like a poor comparison to what you're saying. But I feel like anything that we like to focus on a lot, I think it's going to end up showing in our dream at some point.
I think I had two. This was one I had through my life that was a big deal. I had the choking dream, which I guess is very common, that you're choking to death. I had that, but it would just, what was I choking on? It would be like whatever I fell asleep with. If I fell asleep in bed with a remote control, I was choking to death with a remote. Things you would never put in your fucking mouth. I'm just like, I've got a fucking full remote control in my throat. I wake up spitting in bed. I had that for like 20 years.
And do you think there's a connection between that and all of the guys trying to choke you?
You know what?
Maybe you were choked to death in a past life and now it's actualizing in these weird ways.
Yeah. Just over and over again. Every couple of years, someone chokes me. Or I
choke on a remote control.
Yeah.
That's brutal. Yeah. I think maybe you're right. Maybe it's all connected. I never thought all these different pieces. Yeah.
All right. On that note, I hope now this doesn't send you down a spiral of thinking about hell too much, because it's probably better just to think about heaven. But we'll do a quick round of plugs and we will wrap up. Maddie, what do you got to plug?
Just Instagram, Twitch, Jester Skulls. That's it.
Okay. Paul, what would you like to plug?
Website's paulhoopercomedy.com. And then Instagram is Paul E. Hooper. And then just, you know, if you go to my website, tour dates, shows on the road coming up. So that's about it.
Awesome. You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Wherever you listen to the show, you can also watch it live for free every single Tuesday at 5:30 PM Eastern at gasdigitalnetwork.com/live. That's absolutely for free. But the best way to support the show is to go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use promo code TTI. You'll get a 1 week free trial, which is risk-free, which will give you access to every single episode that we've ever done, every single other show on the Gas Digital Network, Real S Podcast, the SDR show, Mike Vecchio and Investigates, Legion of Skanks. There's about 20, I think, other shows in the network and two joining soon that I can't actually reveal yet. But yeah, so you get access to everything for 1 week for free. So you can try it out. If you hate it, you can cancel it and there's no risk to you at all, but you're going to love it. If you listen on iTunes or YouTube, make sure to rate, review, and of course, tell a friend. It helps us to grow. Tell two friends. It helps us to grow the show and get in front of more people's eyes. If you have stories to submit for, damn it, little guy's always here when I have to hit the bell at this point.
Hit him.
No, he's a good boy. No one told you to hit it.
Oh.
You have your own stories to submit for bad dates, bad things, or scary things, you can send it into the Thing Is podcast. I hit it at gmail.com.
Oh, you got it?
Nope, that's four that now you're not allowed to hit in the upcoming future.
Three.
No, you hit four. Wasn't it? Nope, four. Five. That you're not
the
allowed.
Yes. I'm supposed to say that, right? Yeah.
Yes, good job, Paul.
At the end.
Maddie, you're negative 10 going forward. You can send in your stories again. Send in your stories. Bad dates, bad things, scary things. And I know I keep saying this. Next week, I promise. Next week, we're actually going to be live in the studio. And we're going to open up the voicemail line for your scary stories for the month of October. Because it's our scary month. So we get those scary stories coming in again. And podcastmerch.com for t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs. And I think that's it. We'll be back next week. Thank you guys for listening. Bye, guys.
Goodbye.